Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. And Bob, 10 years ago this week.
10 years ago.
10 years. That's, I can't
Where
believe
were
it.
You 10 years
10
ago?
10 years ago this week.
Yeah.
We did the list of fathers of science. I can't believe we have not updated that list on air. We've updated it on the website.
That's right.
But not on air for 10 years. Man, time goes by fast.
Yeah, it sure does. So this is Real Science Radio's list of the fathers of the physical sciences who were
creationists.
This is going to be fun. Fred, many fathers of the natural sciences, they rejected naturalistic origins. So many leading fathers of the physical sciences before Darwin, but even after Darwin, rejected this notion of methodological naturalism.
That's right. Yeah, like Copernicus, Bacon, Kepler, Galileo. That sounds familiar.
These are big names, Fred.
Yeah, Pascal, Boyle, Newton. That'd be Sir Isaac Newton.
Wow.
Who's this next guy? Cuvier, Dalton.
They were all before Darwin.
These are so before Darwin.
The evolutionist says, well, of course, before Darwin, but there are...
Oh, there's some really big ones afterwards.
Fathers of the physical sciences after Darwin?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, what about Louis Pasteur, Faraday, Joule? I mean, that's a measurement.
James Joule.
Yeah. Lord Kelvin, Lister, Carver.
And these men, these scientific giants, they continued to advocate for special creation and reject evolution, even though they were working after Charles Darwin published his Origin of Species.
That's right. When the debate was really the rage back then, too. It's not like it's just today.
No,
I mean, there was open debate then, and these guys were huge, big-name scientists.
Yes. With this list, we are answering the atheist argument from authority.
So we're not making an argument from authority. We're rebutting their argument from authority.
Right. For example, they will say only uneducated people reject evolution.
And how many times have we heard that?
Yeah, only uneducated people. You would believe it if only you understood science.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the majority of the fathers of the physical sciences believed in special creation. Even most of these men, the God of the Bible created us.
Yeah, a large majority of them. Absolutely.
Yes. Answering the atheist argument from authority, first of all, you creationists are uneducated. If you were educated, most educated people believe in Darwinism, therefore Darwinism is true.
Yeah.
We're rebutting that by showing that some of the most supremely educated scientists in the world, the fathers, the giants of the physical sciences, rejected Darwinism.
That's right.
That's the first way we're using this list, but then we're using it in a different way. Evolutionists severely misrepresent reality when they claim, like Lawrence Krauss did.
Yeah, he had him on the radio show.
On this show, Real Science Radio, and he said to us, all scientists are Darwinists.
Yeah, and I can't count how many times I've heard that over the years.
Yeah, right. All
it's
scientists
complete misrepresentation.
Are evolutionists. You know, they're ignoring the 600,000 U.S. PhDs, MDs, and professors who reject the fundamental claim of non-directed materialist
origins. Yeah, 600,000, and that's just in the United States.
Yeah, and that was on our show. Remember that one we did? That was so much fun. Our list of scholars doubting Darwin.
Yeah, my brother said that was his favorite show.
Favorite show. Yeah. Oh, tell him I said hi, please.
Yeah, will do. Yeah, and just how we built that up, you know.
We started with one scientist. Okay, all scientists? Well, here's one. And then we got to 100, 200. We kept going till we get to over 600,000. And people could find that at rsr.org/doubt.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doubting Darwin.
Yeah.
Fred, there's another point about how we use this list. There's nothing wrong with quoting an expert on a topic. That is not committing the fallacy of an argument from authority. Nothing wrong to quote an expert on his area of expertise. But what if you'd pull a bait and switch like Lawrence Krauss did in that show?
Yeah.
And like evolutionists do relentlessly and Big Bang advocates, when they identify experts in one topic, and then without acknowledging the switch, they proceed as though they were experts in a different field. And they say, well, this expert believes in Darwinism. Therefore, it's probably true.
Yeah.
Or it must be true.
It's funny you say that because Dr. James Crowe, who published a lot in Nature magazine, I actually had correspondence with him. And I asked him, well, why do you actually believe in evolution? Because he was agreeing with me on a point that I made about biology and genetics. And he's like, because of all the sciences in the other fields. It's like, so in his own field that he's an expert in,
my own field,
he could not find evidence for evolution because, you know, the mutation rate was just too great.
Yeah.
You know, they were getting that huge mutation rate because they were comparing human and chimp DNA.
Right. Which
would give you a big, yeah, it was erroneous. It would give you a bigger mutation.
Of course. It was absurdly erroneous. But when they applied the actual mutation rate, they found out that mitochondrial Eve lived a mere 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, just 6,000 years
ago. I got a kick out of that. But genetic entropy, as we've reported often, the genome is breaking down and you're going to have a genetic collapse of a million species within tens of thousands of years.
Yeah.
You're not going to have millions of years of evolution getting better. Things are getting worse way faster than you have anything even opportunistically getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a mutation, all your teeth fall out. Okay. You can't get a cavity. Congratulations.
That's mutation. Right. Yeah.
Now you're impervious to tooth decay.
Yeah. And if you get sickle cell anemia, then you don't get malaria. So,
yeah.
Hey, you
congratulations.
Know?
Yeah. Right. Those are
you're
like
the winner of sickle cell anemia. You're going to have a tough life and die young.
Right. But you can't get this disease.
Yeah. You won't get malaria. So congratulations.
And Fred, that's like the best evidence for evolution that many evolutionists offer is a disease,
is
something
a disease.
Breaking down.
I've had them give me cancer as evidence for evolution.
Oh, right. Things breaking down.
Yeah.
The point is Darwinism is supposed to explain how it builds up. So let's say here's their bait and switch. They'll quote an expert, a scientist, in operational science, and they'll pretend, therefore, he knows how the origin of the universe occurred.
Yep.
If he could shoot a rocket to the moon, he's a rocket scientist, then he knows how the universe began. Well, if somebody's a pilot, does that make them an expert in how to make an airplane?
No, of course not.
No, how about how to make gravity?
Yeah.
If you're a pilot, it doesn't mean you know where the law of gravity came from. Just that's a non sequitur.
But that's a bait and switch they do really a lot.
Yes. And we are answering the atheist argument from authority. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a rebuttal. And so the typical form of their logical fallacy, it goes like this. Some scientists are experts in operational physics, chemistry, and biology. Most scientists believe in naturalistic origins. Therefore, naturalistic origins must be true.
Yes. You know, it just occurred to me, Bob, that when I first got into this debate about creation versus evolution, it was a guy at work that used this very argument that all scientists believe in evolution and naturalistic origin, so it must be true. I thought, well, man, if so many believe it, but I wanted to look into it because it didn't make complete sense to me either.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out I was brainwashed for 30 years and wasn't real happy about it.
Wow.
Well, I was happy and not, you know.
Yeah, happy to find out I was brainwashed past tense.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, Fred, let's go through the list of the fathers of science who believed in the creator God. And we start, of course, in the past, chronologically. So we'll go first before Darwin.
Okay.
And let's mention the years that these scientists died. The first guy I would think many in our audience have never heard of, his name is Philip Paracelsus. He died in 1541. So we're starting our list almost 500 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. Fred, this guy was a Swiss physician, botanist, and he's credited with being the father of toxicology.
Ah, interesting.
The study of disease and poisons.
Yeah.
And he is known as the father of chemical medicine.
The father of chemical medicine.
Yeah. So, and he believed in a creator God.
Yep.
So we're starting our list almost 500 years ago with Paracelsus.
Okay. The next one is Nicholas Copernicus. I'm sure a lot in our audience hopefully have heard of him.
Yes. Even if you went to public school.
Yeah.
The Copernican Revolution, which was what?
Yeah, heliocentrism.
Yeah, so the Earth orbits the Sun, not vice versa.
Yeah, because they thought the Sun orbited the Earth. In fact, there's people that still believe that.
That's true. And you trace it back to Plato.
Yeah.
Plato and Aristotle. And
there's a lot of weird things we trace back to those guys.
Yeah. In fact, we've been doing a pretty good job exposing how corrupt they were morally, spiritually,
and
how
so
much theology
tragic. How much exactly how much
came
their
from Plato.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about geocentrism, I mean, Plato in his creation myth, he's one of the significant fathers of geocentrism.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Copernicus had courage. He died in 1543, and he's the one who helped to point people. I mean, he didn't win the debate during his life.
He took a lot of heat for it.
But to point people to the truth that the Earth orbits around the sun, and he's known as the father of the scientific revolution.
Yeah, that's right.
And he believed earnestly in the God of the Bible. I love that. And, you know, they claim the Copernican principle that there is no special time, there is no special place. And that's like libel against Copernicus. He believed in the God of the Bible and that God created us. So they are extrapolating toward their atheism to say the Copernican principle is that there is nothing special about the earth. There's nothing special about man.
Yep.
There's nothing special about the time that we live in. That is not the Copernican principle. Yep. That is stealing from a Christian creationist to try to defend their atheistic worldview.
Yep. So this next guy is Francis Bacon. He died in 1626, and he's the father of the scientific method.
Scientific method of thinking scientifically and conducting experiments, making careful measurements and observations. C.S. Lewis pointed out that there's no such thing as scientific thinking. There's only logical thinking. And that's what scientific thinking is. It's just being logical about our observations of the physical universe. I love that
that's
point.
That's interesting.
It's not like scientific thinking is some different kind of thinking.
Yeah.
It's just logic.
Logical.
Logic and reason applied to trying to understand the physical universe. So Francis Bacon in 1626, we're now into the 1600s, and this is a real fun time for science in the 1600s, and he's considered the father of the scientific method, and he believed in the creator God.
That's right. The next guy's Johann Kepler. He died in 1630, again, right in that same time frame. And, of course, he's the father of physical astronomy.
Oh, man. Kepler, he's so awesome.
Yeah.
And he wrote so much about the Bible, and he believed so earnestly in the Lord Jesus Christ and the book of Genesis. He gave us the three laws of planetary motion. He was looking at Mars, and he said, you know, Mars was 8 minutes off of where it should be, you know, 8 minutes of arc. And I could just picture his wife, Mrs. Kepler, saying, Johann, forget those 8 minutes. Just come to bed. But he's there up all night long, you know. But Fred, oftentimes it's the anomalies that point you to the truth. And so he wouldn't ignore those 8 minutes of arc. Mars is not where it's supposed to be. I'm not going to give up on that. It's like dinosaur soft tissue. I'm not going to give up on that. And he figured out that Plato was wrong, that things didn't orbit in a perfect circle, that it was a mathematical construct, an ellipse, where you have not the center of a circle, but two foci. And he figured out that the planets are orbiting the sun in an ellipse, and so are we. And that explains the retrograde motion, that sometimes it looks like the planets are slowing down in the night sky and backing up and going the other way.
Yeah.
So he helped us to understand all that. I mean, he was so much of a creationist. He tried to calculate what the Star of Bethlehem was by working the orbits of the planets backward to find a conjunction, maybe with the star Regulus.
Yeah, that's neat how the Star of Bethlehem and all the studies on that.
Yeah.
And we've got a show on that too, right?
Yeah, we do that around Christmas time often.
It's called the Star of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
So the next guy I'm sure everybody's heard of, I hope, Galileo.
Oh, yeah, the law of falling bodies.
Yep.
And so much else. He died in 1642. He's often used as a poster child against Christianity.
Yeah, wrongly so, right?
Well, because
they say that
the church was against him.
The church was against science.
Right.
And it was totally the opposite.
He and all these others are people who believe in the Christian worldview, and the church had accepted the Aristotelian worldview, Aristotle and Plato, that the sun orbited the earth. And Aristotelian and Platonic philosophy and their worldviews generally held powerful influence in the Vatican and throughout the religious academia. You could not reject Plato and Aristotle without calling for a big fight.
That's right.
Galileo even wrote his dialogues, and one of them, Simplicus or Simpleton, was Plato. But some people said it was the Pope. So he got in a lot of trouble. But the Pope did accept Plato's geocentrism. And so Galileo, his law of falling bodies, he's helping to lay the foundation on top of what Kepler did. Kepler died 12 years before. and on top of what Nicolai Copernicus did, who died a century before. These men, again, believe in a creator God. And an interesting observation, Fred, when Darwinism is finally thrown on the trash heap of history, as was predicted by that Bible teacher, get on the Bible bus, J. Vernon McGee.
Yeah.
He said in 50 years' time, the theory of evolution, Darwinism will be trashed. I think his prediction is going to come true around 2030 or so.
30.
It would be the fulfillment of his prediction. When that happens, and it will, you know, they're going to blame the church for Darwinism because the Pope, the Vatican.
Yeah, that's right.
They said Darwinism is true.
Yep.
And they're going to find every Darwinist who studied theology. Were there any Darwinists who studied theology that you could think of?
Darwin?
Darwin. They're going to blame the whole false canard of Darwinian evolution on the church. I bet they will. Just like they blamed the pagan Greek cosmology of geocentrism on the church.
That's right.
They're going to one day blame Darwinism on the church.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit, Bob. So this next guy, William Harvey.
Bill Harvey.
He died in 1657.
Yeah.
He's the father of the circulatory system.
Yeah, and I love that one because Darwinism, how do you evolve a vital organ?
Yeah.
By definition.
It's vital.
It's vital. You can't survive. The species would be extinct without its vital organ. There are many vital organs. Each one, you have this dilemma. How do you evolve a vital organ? And so the heart, the circulatory system, you have veins and arteries. How do you have all the plumbing without the pump?
Yeah.
Why would you evolve all the plumbing, all those pipes and all, without the pump? And why would you evolve the pump and its four chambers without all the plumbing, the pipes?
And yeah, it's like the eye with the trochlea, right?
What a great evolution challenge we have, rsr.org/trochlea. But Fred, William Harvey, again, believed in the creator God. And so with all of these scientists, they affirmed that their belief in God is what led them to look for order and understanding of the creation.
That's right. And it was a boom in the scientific era, really.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the next guy, he's the father of probability and calculators.
Yeah.
And people should know this name, too. Blaise Pascal.
I studied Pascal at Arizona State University.
Yep.
ASU in Tempe, Arizona. So he's mathematics, right? Probability and, like you said, calculators. But yet he lived back in the 1600s. He died in 1662. And Fred, remember he came up with a wager?
Yeah, Pascal's wager.
Pascal's wager. What do you have to lose if you believe in God? Because he said in the afterlife, so you've lived your life and you then pass away.
Yep.
If you lived for God, you believed in God, and it turns out that you're wrong, then there's just nothing.
Yeah.
But if it turns out
you wouldn't even know you were wrong.
You wouldn't know you were wrong. But if it turns out that you were right, then you have eternity to enjoy God and enjoy the fellowship and friendship of everyone who loves God. If you don't believe, it's common sense, right? Pascal's wager.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe in God and you reject him and he is real, he made you and he loves you, and you reject him, then you die. If you're right, nothing.
Yeah.
No difference. You don't even know you were right because there's no God. There's no afterlife. But if you were wrong, then there is an afterlife. You stand before God in judgment, and you are separated from him from all of eternity, because if he allowed the people who hated him and hated one another into heaven, they would just turn heaven into hell.
Into hell.
They turn heaven into hell. So the place where people live who don't want to be with God, it's called hell. And so that was Pascal's wager. What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
And he was the father of probabilities. He's the one who figured it all out.
Yeah. He's the guy who's really good at statistics.
Yes.
But you know, I don't know what you think about this, Bob, but I always wondered about Pascal's wager. Because to me, it just boils down to these people know who God is. They know about him. They just don't like him.
Oh,
you know, I got in a debate with this guy.
You're right about that.
You know, on Facebook, I was debating this fraternity brother from college. You know, he's an atheist. And I told him, you know, it would be so much better if you guys would just be honest and just say, hey, I don't like God.
Right.
Instead of, you know, acting like he's not there.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
I know there's a God, but I hate him.
Yeah. Just
like
say
that.
And
film.
I could respect that more than just making stuff up and believing in these fairy tales.
Like in that film, God's Not Dead, where the professor of philosophy admits that he hates God.
Yeah.
He says, I hate him.
Yep.
And so, what a great point. So I do think that's a very valid observation, Fred. Then you've got, still in the 1600s,
Bob Boyle.
Robert Boyle. And he's the father of chemistry.
Chemistry, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boyle's Law. So we've got so many different disciplines, and these are men who believe in a creator God. And then I love it. This is our last one in the 1600s, Christian Huygens. And Fred, he's the father of physical optics. He dies 5 years before the turn of the century, 1695. Think about what physical optics, you know, vision.
Yeah.
Think about what it's led to today.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. We kind of talked a little bit about that last week, about light interference.
Oh, you know, the blue tarantulas.
Yeah. Bending of light.
Diffraction.
Diffraction.
Polarization. Yeah. Interference. And how important all that is to our understanding, not only of how to make neat gadgets.
Yeah.
Which we're getting pretty good at, but also of understanding the universe, the cosmos, because mm-hmm. Genesis begins with God saying, let there be light. And even Einstein, you know, looking at light as such a key part of the understanding of the physical universe. Mm-hmm. So to have Christian Huygens, the father of physical optics, believing in a creator God of the universe and of mankind, of course.
Yeah. So this next guy, he died in 1727, and he's kind of small on this list.
Oh.
You know, Isaac Newton.
Oh, yeah. Only the greatest
probably
scientist.
Probably the greatest scientist to ever live.
Who ever lived. And.
And he wrote more about the Bible than he did science, by the way.
Than he did science and mathematics. More about the scriptures and the history of the world based on God's revelation in the scriptures. He believed that God created the earth in the recent past. He was so awesome.
Yep, Sir Isaac Newton.
He's even trying to figure out the visibility because of the weather that Noah would have had if he went up on the deck of the ark. I mean, he's such a neat guy, Isaac Newton, and he's the father of what? The laws of gravity.
Yeah, laws of gravity.
And we were just mentioning optics and light. Isaac Newton figured out what color is. Imagine if that was your homework assignment. Okay, tonight class, you have to figure out what color is. What makes us perceive some things as red, and other things as green, and other things as blue? And you got to figure out that it's the length of the light wave.
The light wave, yep. Amazing, imagine amazing.
That Isaac Newton figured out what color is, and also what? Calculus.
Yep.
Now, he's considered the father, along with another, about the same time, father of calculus. But, Fred, we reported about a year ago that in one of the leading science journals, they just found out that the ancient Babylonians knew calculus. They knew a rudimentary form of calculus. And it is so cool because what they did was they wanted to figure out how fast the planets were moving. And they knew that they moved at variable speeds. So they took a rectangle and they put a line diagonal through it. And they calculated the area below the line. And they used that to determine how fast, like, the planet Jupiter is moving across the sky. It was a form of rudimentary calculus. Just awesome. From the Babylonians.
From the Babylonians.
They were not grunting cavemen.
Well, you know, another irony here is, you know, evolutionists will mock Christians by saying, well, you know, evolution is proven as gravity, you know, and yet the father of really, the father of gravity.
Yeah.
Sir Isaac Newton.
The law of gravity.
He would, boy, would he give them a beat down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's just awesome, isn't it? He would.
He would.
Oh,
would
Newton was just.
It'd be a knockout.
Amazingly awesome. And then Carolus Linnaeus.
Yep.
He is the father of taxonomy.
Yep.
And he died in 1778, so we've been in the 18th century here. So that's modern biology.
Yep.
Taxonomy is the study of how to classify living creatures. Really, how related are they according to their kinds?
Yeah.
That's a really fun study.
And, you know, evolutionists, again, they twist that one, you know, by saying all these millions of species in the world, and how can you get all those on the ark? Well, you know, Linus, it was about kinds, not species is just a man-made term to classify, you know, group animals together. That doesn't mean that they're not, you know, all separate kinds. There's like, what, 17 jackrabbit species? Did you have to have 17 of those jackrabbit
on
parents the ark?
On the ark? No, you'd have one pair. And we have all the breeds of dogs, but there's one dog species.
Yep.
And even that with wolves.
Yeah.
And so the number
wolves and dogs could interbreed. You don't need to have, you know, a wolf and a chihuahua on the ark.
So less than 1,000 pairs of animals on the ark, and you explain all of the
you can get all the
bird
life
and land
today.
Animals that Easily. Breathe through their nostrils. Yep. So you don't need insects, you don't need plants, you don't need microbes.
Because they weren't required to be on the ark.
Right, exactly. So then you have the father of anatomy and paleontology, George Cuvier, and he died in the 19th century, that is 1832, and he believed in a creator God. And the last guy in our pre-Darwin list I love.
Yeah, John Dalton, he's the father of atomic theory.
I like
atomic theory.
Right?
Yeah.
You have got the range of scientists from Copernicus, Bacon, Kepler, Galileo, and Pascal, Boyle, Newton, and John Dalton. You cover so many disciplines from the scientific method, the scientific revolution, astronomy, anatomy, mathematics, chemistry, optics, gravity, anatomy, paleontology, that's fossils, taxonomy, that's modern biology, and atomic theory. And all these men believed in the creator God.
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah, now, Bible-believing Christians.
Fred, we're out of time.
We're out of time, and we didn't get to the list of people, of scientists after Darwin.
Maybe there are none. Maybe there are no scientists who lived after Darwin who were the fathers of the physical sciences. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Faraday, Maxwell, Pasteur, those guys, who were they?
Yeah.
Who are they?
We'll have to see in our next show, Lord willing. You know, if the Lord doesn't return before next Friday.
Hopefully he will.
But that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? We could finish the show in heaven.
That's right.
Hey, that would be fun. I don't know if anybody would want to listen. But if we were able to pipe it down into hell, that's what would make hell.
Even
more
so.
For people who are there.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Hillary Clinton had to listen to Real Science Radio, would she think she were in hell? Absolutely. It could be hell is an eternal podcast.
Well, you know, remember that Noriega guy in Panama?
Panama?
I think it was Panama. He was holed up in a house, so they played this really loud rock music.
Oh, yeah.
So we can just play reruns of Real Science Radio for eternity, blasting it down into hell.
That would certainly make hell.
It would really be hell.
I mean, for whatever else, I mean, there might be fire and brimstone and gnashing of teeth and whatever.
Yeah,
but Real Science Radio would make hell.
It'd be like us having to listen to Richard Dawkins over and over again.
That's a good point. So we know.
That'd be torture.
We know that there will be no radio stations in hell piped up into heaven.
That's right.
Because then it wouldn't be heaven.
It wouldn't be.
But if we pipe down our show into hell.
It'll fit. It'll work. Then it'll just make hell more hell.
It would work perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't even think Donald Trump would enjoy it. So, okay, Fred, that was part one, the first half of Real Science Radio's list of the fathers of the physical sciences who were creationists. I'm looking forward to part two. And this is Bob Enyart.
And Fred Williams.
For Real Science Radio. May God bless you. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.